Well, thorns come in many different sizes and shapes. We all know what thorns are. If you've got a rose bush, had an aunt in West Tennessee, had cactus. And I learned early on, you better stay away from a cactus. And so thorns, they come in different sizes. They come in many different shapes. Brother Larry and I started hunting. We first started hunting my dad. We didn't have any beagles. Now, those of you who knew him knew he started to raise beagles and did for many, many years. Well, we first started hunting, Larry and I were the beagles. And Dad would say, boys, there's a rabbit in that brush pile. Now, a lot of briars where we used to hunt. Even down in the Mortland place, we did hunting. Well, we go rabbit hunting, and he said, boys, there's going to be a rabbit in that brush pile. You get in there and get it. I didn't appreciate that for years later. I have my own sons. And so I've come to appreciate it. I've been in briars. I've been so tangled up in briars that once I got in there chasing a rabbit, I didn't know how to get out. You may have been there. No way to go. So you start lifting up those bramble briars off your neck and your back, and you're grabbing your legs, and you finally work yourself out. So I was introduced to all kinds of stickers and all kinds of briars, big old sandburrs up here in this part of the country. So they come in all different shapes and sizes, and I haven't met one yet that I really like. I like to get real personal with. Well, you take your pick. From my standpoint, none of these thorns in life that I've encountered are very pleasant. Well, sooner or later, thorns will come to us in life. Thorns of life are going to come our way. Let me suggest, this is not something that may happen. I would like to think that there are those here who are so fortunate that trouble will never come your way, and no thorns of life, difficulties will come your way, but life simply is not designed that way. And so all of us are going to suffer through some difficulties and what I'm calling thorns in life. The question is, how will I handle my thorn when it comes my way? How am I going to respond to it? That's a question this morning. Now, they're going to come in different ways. The song that Roger led us in a moment ago suggested a number of ways in which thorns may come into our life. It may be a physical illness that comes my way, and they can be very, very challenging. Physical illnesses can challenge our faith. A dear lady down home, she got dementia when she was 61. Frontal lobe dementia, very debilitating disease. And she took a nasty fall, and her daughter, now that I've known most of her life, was at the hospital. And she told me a day or two after that, so Jerry said, I almost lost my faith. He says, my mom is so sweet and so faithful all these years. And I asked, well, how can God make it happen to her? How can he allow her to suffer so much as she's suffering? And we talked about it. So there was the difficulties that her mother was facing that really challenged her faith. Thorns come in all shapes, all sizes. You may be here this morning and you've had some difficult financial situations in your life. And they may come to any one of us again, and that can be very difficult. That can challenge our faith. And so when I say thorns come in all shapes and sizes and varieties, they come in many different forms. It can be physical. It can be emotional. We can have emotional challenges ourselves. We may be involved in emotional challenges within our family or our extended family that can cause great stress and great difficulty in families. I don't think I've ever known a family that didn't sometime along the way encounter some of those challenges and difficulties simply of being a physical family. Those difficulties come as well. And so no matter what kind of difficulty we're talking about, the question is, when it comes my way, how am I going to respond? How am I going to react? There's a lot in life I haven't learned. Many things in life I've learned too late. But I think one thing I've learned, it does help me if I think something is going to happen or may happen, it makes it a little bit easier on me if I at least think about it ahead of time. If this happens, how am I going to react? But what am I going to do if this happens? And so our next few minutes together this morning is simply to serve that purpose. To sort of take 20, 30 minutes and say, okay, things are going to come to me in my life that are going to challenge me. And I just want us to pause for a few minutes and ahead of time think about, how do I prepare myself to handle those challenges, those difficulties, those trials that are going to come my way? And thus the title this morning, How Will I Handle My Thorn? Well, you may have guessed the text from my study this morning. Look with me here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, here are the writings of the Apostle Paul. The first six verses of chapter 12, we won't spend a lot of time on, they're challenging. But I believe Paul is talking about the experience that he personally had himself. And during this time, he received this great revelation, the one probably he speaks of in the first chapter of Galatians. But Paul says, 2 Corinthians 6, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm sorry, verse 1. Paul said, I must needs glory, though it's not expedient, but I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ 14 years ago, whether in the body I know not, or whether out of the body I know not, God knoweth. Such a one caught me even to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I know not, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. On behalf of such a one will I glory, but on my own behalf I will not glory, save in my own weaknesses. For if I should desire to glory, I shall not be foolish. For I shall speak the truth, but I will forbear, lest any man should account of me above that which he heareth me to be, or heareth from me. And so what Paul is talking about, this experience that he had, we know that he received the gospel by revelation of Jesus Christ. He says that very clearly in his letter to the churches of Galatia. So here are the visions he received. But notice that Paul is given a thorn in the flesh. Continue reading there in verse 7. And by reason of the exceeding greatness of a revelation, that is what we just read about, all that he saw, all that he experienced, that revelation given to him. By reason of the exceeding greatness of revelation, that I should not be exalted over much, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, that I should not be exalted over much. And so the Apostle Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. It was given to him for a reason, that was to buffet him. Now, I won't spend time speculating this morning of what it was. I don't know what it is. The scriptures don't tell us. But if we look at a couple of passages, it may be that the thorn he was given was something physical. The passage here in Galatians chapter 4. He says that my physical appearance, when you saw me, you could have despised me. And so it may be that something about Paul's appearance, a deformity, whatever it might have been, it could have caused them to despise him, whatever this thorn in the flesh was. And he said, at that point in time, you would have taken your eye out and given it to me. And so here was this thorn. Here was a malady and affliction in the body, whatever it might have been. But Paul refers to it as a thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. They say of him that his bodily presence is weak, maybe contemptible with some translations. And so here Paul gives maybe some insight without saying specifically what it is. Here's a thorn in the flesh that he was given. And so Paul experienced exactly what we're talking about this morning. And was of a great magnitude that others might despise him for. Now Paul recognizes that there was a purpose in that thorn. There was a purpose in that, and we saw that as we read there in verse 7. And that is that I might not be overmuch exalted, that I might not become too proud and arrogant and think too highly of myself. So Paul recognized that sometimes there is a reason, there is a purpose for which trials and challenges come into our life. Now, I might pause to say this. When these trials come, I think they can be looked upon in one of two ways. One, Satan can use these as a means of temptation for us. Be it our illness, be it the death of a loved one. Satan will sometimes, I think often, use that as a way to tempt us to lose our faith, as the young lady I mentioned just a moment ago. And so trials can be viewed as a temptation, or it can be viewed, on the other hand, as a means by which we can strengthen our faith. That God has given us a trial, and as He helps us through that trial, that difficult time, we come out stronger on the other side, and we're better for it. What we have to guard against is allowing these difficult times and challenges in our life to be looked upon as a temptation by God. Satan will use trials as a temptation. God's not going to use it as a way to tempt us. He may use it as a means for us to do some soul searching and strengthen our faith and strengthen our reliance upon Him to maybe wake us up to where we understand that we need God's help. To make sure that we understand that we can't make it through life on our own. And we certainly can't make it to heaven without Him. So trials may come our way, just like Paul. If we get to a point in life that we just think we know it all, we've got all the answers, and we think everything's figured out, God may give us a wake-up call. And there may be a trial that comes to us. And it may be a thorn in the flesh of various types. And God just may be saying, you need to stop and think for just a moment. Is it a trial or is it a temptation? Well, Paul was given that, that would keep him from personal pride, and for that very reason, that he would rely upon God. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says, I'm called to be apostle. I'm really the least. Paul recognized his past life. We talked about that in one of our studies. But Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And I may need some thorns in my life every now and then just to remind me that all that I am and all that I have in life is by the grace of God. It's His goodness. Paul recognized that. And he had a thorn. And he said, it's by the grace of God I am that I am. Well, we ask the question, what do we do? How do we react? Well, Paul reacted, I think, like we react. You come down to verse 8. Concerning these things, I have besought the Lord three times, that it might be taken from me. Now, you may be in that situation. And I suspect there are some here who are. You have physical ailments. And you have prayed that that physical ailment would just be taken away, whatever it is. And you pray one times, two times, three times, seven times, 70 times. And yet that ailment's not taken away. That's when Satan will work on us. And Satan will say, you know what that says? You know, God doesn't hear your prayers. God doesn't answer prayers. That's what Satan will use that occasion for. We've got to be careful. When these thorns of life come our way, we need to look at Paul's example. Paul had a natural reaction. He wanted to be gone. And we're the same way. And so Paul prayed three times that it would be removed. And that's what we ought to do, and it's fine. We ought to do that. But you know, sometimes prayers aren't answered exactly as we request. You come down to verse 9. Notice with me there in verse 9, 2 Corinthians 12. And he has said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, For my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And so we pray that this weakness be taken from us. We don't get the answer that we're looking for. Now again, Satan will tempt us and have us believe that God hasn't heard the prayer and God hasn't answered the prayer. Now Paul understood that's not the case. We're assured God's going to hear our prayers. We know that Jesus is at the right hand of God, and he understands. Jesus came to earth as a man, as Emmanuel, God with us, so that he can now be at the right hand of God, understanding our difficulties as a man, as he faced those. He's there to make intercession for us. He pleads our cause to God. Romans 8, the Holy Spirit is there to help us pray to God as an intercessor. And so we can be assured that God hears each and every prayer. We can be assured that God answers every prayer. Now we pause. Those of some age remember a television program years ago. The name of it was Father Knows Best. Remember that old show, some of you? Well, Father Knows Best, if you remember that old show, there were the teenagers, and they'd want to do this and that, and yet the show would unfold, and at the end of the day, they would realize, you know, Father knows best. Well, in a very real sense, God, our Father, knows what's best for us. I raised two sons. Sometimes they made requests, and I would tell them no. Sometimes they didn't like my answer. And yet I thought I knew best. I knew better than they did what was best for them at that moment in time. I heard their request. I answered their request. They weren't really satisfied with my answer. They didn't get the answer they wanted. But as a father, I heard the request. I answered the request. But I gave them the answer that they needed. Not necessarily the answer they wanted, but I gave them the answer they needed. Paul understands that. And that's what Paul reflects in this passage. He prayed three times. He didn't get the answer that he expected. But Paul accepted the answer that God gave him. That's why we read in verse 9, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my weaknesses. You see what Paul's saying here? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Sometimes we have to be brought to our knees, literally in life, before we truly recognize our dependence upon God. I think we can live in pride and arrogance for many, many, many years of our life. We may come and sit in a pew 1,000 times. But it may be that we have never truly, at 100%, rendered our commitment and our heart to God. And we may have to be brought to our knees to a point when we finally recognize, God, I'm totally dependent on you. I need your grace. I need your help. Have you ever said, God, please help me? So sometimes we may need to be brought to our knees like the prodigal son was when he'd eat the food going to the swine. And sometimes we may need that in life, and God may have a trial come our way to give us that opportunity to recognize our dependence upon him. Paul did that the power might rest upon him. Come down to verse 10 in the text. Wherefore I take pleasure in weaknesses and injuries and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. What a great statement. What Paul's saying is, but the moment I recognize my dependence upon God and I let God have his way, And I let God start to lead me instead of me trying to lead myself. And I learned to wait on the Lord, as we sang about earlier this week in a couple songs. It's finally when I got to that point that I had real strength. Not until I recognized my dependence upon God and let God have His way with me was I really strong. That's how Paul handled his thorn in the flesh. When I am weak, then am I strong. Philippians 4, a familiar passage to us. Paul says, "In whatever state I am in, I've learned to be content." Are you content this morning? You know, I've struggled with a lot of things in life, and contentment is one thing I've struggled with. Being truly content. I had an aunt and uncle in West Tennessee. He farmed all his life, sharecropper, never had much money. He'd say, "Son, I don't have a dime, but I don't owe no man a dime." But he was contented. To be content, we have to learn to accept things in life. We may not get everything we want. And God may not answer all of our requests as we have requested. We have to learn to be content with God's answer. Paul learned that, and Paul accepted God's answer that He gave to him. You know, not all do that. Here's Jonah. Recall the story of Jonah. God said, "Jonah, go preach Nineveh." "I don't want to go," so he tried running away a second time. God says, "Jonah, go preach to Nineveh." So he finally does. There in Jonah chapter 3. "Well, they preach to Nineveh, and the people repent. From the king down to the animals, they put on sackcloth and ashes." Well, that made Jonah upset and angry. He goes outside the city. And Jonah's angry that God showed mercy upon this great city of Nineveh. Well, God came to him and said, "Jonah, doest thou well to be angry?" Jonah didn't like it when things did not go his way. And Jonah said, "God, I'm better off dead. Take my life." We come to Psalms chapter 73. Here's a man by the name of Asaph, the writer, the author of that psalm, Psalm 73. Well, his problem wasn't physical health. His problem was he considered himself a righteous man. If you look at the whole chapter, he said, "God, I'm trying to do right, and I'm righteous." But he said, "I look around me at all these wicked people, and they prosper, and I'm not prospering. They have all the wealth." In that chapter, he said, "Why, they have pain, and they don't have pain and suffering, and I have pain and suffering, and they have wealth, I don't have wealth." And God says, Jonah, and Asaph said, "God, he was discouraged." You know, your thorn in life may be like Asaph. It may be discouragement. It comes to us, doesn't it, sometimes. Life is tough. Life can become very difficult. Life can get us down. And we can become discouraged where we're like Asaph. He said, "My foot had almost slipped." I take that to mean his faith. He almost lost his faith in God. Because he envied those who were wealthy. He envied those who were arrogant. If you continue on in that psalm, Asaph said, "I was troubled until I went into the sanctuary of God." That is, the presence of God. And then I understood. He looked at the big picture that Jeremy mentioned. So we must not be like Jonah, and we must not be like Asaph. Don't become angry. Don't become discouraged. The psalm we sang a moment ago, "Be not dismayed. Whatever betides, God will take care of you." That's a promise He has made for us. Hebrews 13, verse 4, "He will in no wise fail thee nor forsake thee." So many passages where God gives us the assurance that when troubles come our way, if we place our trust in Him, God will be there to lift us up. Isaiah chapter 40, "He'll lift us up on eagle's wings." He'll lift us up and carry us through days of difficulty. If we place our confidence, we place our faith in Him. That's exactly what Paul did. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, need be, you have been put to grief in manifold trials, that to prove your faith, being more precious than gold that perisheth, though it is proved by fire, may be found unto praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Whom not having seen, ye love, on whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. So God recognizes that trials may come our way, and they will come our way. But Peter says, rejoice. Well, how can we rejoice in trials and troubles and challenges of life? Because they're going to prove our faith just as gold is proven to be pure. And the end of our faith, that is, as we overcome trials, as we learn to accept the difficulties of life, as we learn to accept the answer that God has given us, it may be different what we ask for, but if we learn to accept that, we learn contentment in life. And we gain strength from these trials that we go through. And we receive the end of our faith, that is the salvation of our souls. You know, God didn't put us here necessarily to enjoy life. You know, we know in the book of Ecclesiastes, and man's life is to eat and drink and enjoy the work of his labor. But even as the writer comes to the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, now the end of the matter, the conclusion is, you fear God, keep his commandments. Well, that's the whole of man. That's why we're here. We're not here to have fun. We're not here necessarily to enjoy life. God wants to do that. But our purpose here is to live this life, meet life's challenges, that we can one day spend eternity with him in heaven. That's what God wants for us. And so these trials that come our way, they're there for that purpose, to prepare us. This morning, the question to them is, how will I handle my thorn? We're going to have them. Pray that it be taken away. Be assured God has heard and answered that prayer. Never doubt that, except God knows what is best for me. Be assured of that. God knows what's best, and God will do what's best for me each and every time. It requires faith, doesn't it? Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible. If you just pause right there in that passage. Without faith, it's impossible. So by faith, we believe God will help us. We have the assurance, as the song reminded us, that God will take care. No matter what comes our way, no matter what the trial is, God will take care of us. You know, I see Ernie sitting here, and I've told him, I appreciate him coming out. You know, it's work for Ernie to come, and I know you appreciate that, and others have difficulties. I come here, I sit here a couple nights, here early, and I just get out of my car and walk the door. You know, he'd like to do that. What an encouragement. What an encouragement. God's given him a thorn, hadn't he? Hadn't lost his faith. He's here serving God. I don't know of a better sermon. His being here preaches a sermon far better than I can this morning. And I'm thankful for him. So may we be encouraged by others that we know in our life that face challenges and difficulties and trials, and yet they persevere. They keep going. No matter how difficult life gets, they just continue on. May we be strengthened by their faith, and may we be one that others look to as an example of faith. A faith that just does not waver. A faith that doesn't give up. A faith that doesn't quit on God. A faith that no matter what happens, I'm going to keep my faith in God. Back here this morning, you have trials in your life. You pray that God will take it away. If he does not, be assured you answer the prayer. Accept that answer. And be faithful in death, and God will give unto you the crown of life. And here, leave us as we come as we stand and sing.